Hey, everyone.
Yellow.
A lot's happened since we've been on.
What's happened?
I ran the half marathon.
Yes, you did.
I've had a bunch of clogged ducts.
Yes, you have.
Our children no longer sleep.
Yeah, it's really aggravating.
Yeah. Fall has happened.
Which we love.
Yeah, the trees on our street are really pretty. I love a bunch of people in our neighborhood have like maple trees and they're all starting to turn colors. They start turning like purple, then to red and down.
It's everything kind of turned at one time.
That's how it happens. It starts to turn and then 1 week it's just gone.
Yeah, I think it was last Thursday. It was like 70 degrees out and then this storm came through. It was like 10 minutes of heavy rain and then it was just 50 degrees since then.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be 70 tomorrow.
For real?
Yeah, the next 2 days are like 70, then back down to 60s, and then by next Monday, it's 40s.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this week's going to go 70s, 60s, 50s, then to 40s. So.
Nice.
Gradually making our way there.
October, baby.
October, baby.
Was that supposed to be Austin Powers?
Yeah, you just watched it.
That's an underrated flick. The whole series, they're all good.
They're stupid.
They're all really good. Award-winning good, I would say.
You're funny.
Those movies are funny.
If you guys are listening and you missed our Instagram poll, we just did a bunch of polls on Instagram, and Vito thought it'd be funny to say which one of us which one of our mustaches grows in faster. And everybody's voting me, and I'm like...
I don't know why. You're so beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe it's because you're constantly picking at your mustache when we go on road trips.
Yeah, when we go on road trips twice a year. Mm-hmm. It's really good lighting in the car, and somebody else is driving. So, yes, but the world doesn't know that. They do not.
You post about it all the time.
Okay, I did that once, like 3 years ago. And the way that you said it, people knew that you're making a jab. So rude. All of mine were compliments toward you. And you're like,
murmur. That's my love language, babe.
What? Jabs?
Not jabs. You know, just making you feel good.
You like riling me up.
I do. It leads to the best whoopee.
You're pretty funny.
Thanks. I like to think so, too.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you made a note about this week's episode, but I didn't actually check.
I'm always writing down notes. I found that notes help me remember things because I have what the doctors like to call early life dementia.
Mm.
Yeah. And it starts in your 30s, which I am in my 30s. And basically what it is that life is stressing you out so much that you just forget everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just forget everything because you don't even know when you slept last.
Yeah. I'm surprised you made it through that sentence, to be honest. I thought for sure you were going to stop halfway and go, what was I just saying?
What was just happening? Yeah. I mean, we're out here surviving.
If that's what you call it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm thriving right now.
No. No.
Does that sentence mean anything, the first one?
Living your life.
What did you write in our notes?
I had to have been driving.
Vito and I have a shared long haul notes folder, and we'll like make notes in there on things that we want to talk about. And they're just like a contrafiction of life, living your life, or living your boy die.
What does that let say? Me see it. I could read it. Contrafiction of life, which means, of course, contradiction of life. Living to live or living to die. The contradiction. I had a really good thought about this. I remember thinking like, oh my God, this is breakthrough. They're going to be putting this in psychology books. This is such an amazing thought. And I don't remember what I was trying to get at. Basically, that life is a contradiction. Either like you live to live, right? You choose to live your life to like live it, right? Go skydiving, travel, eat foods, basically put the fear of death on the back burner.
Yeah.
Or you're living your life trying not to die, mm-hmm. right? Because we're all going to die. And some people, it's like a longevity thing. Some people, it's like, listen, take as little risk as possible because you need to be here as long as possible. But then you're not actually living.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're living to avoid death, you're not really taking in everything that living has to offer.
Right.
Look at that. It came back to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living to live,
uh-huh.
the odds of you dying early go up.
I don't know if I agree in that because, yes, people who are risk takers, let's say, with their bodies, like skydiving or bungee jumping, which deaths aren't really that high in.
Yeah, but like whitewater rafting or trying new foods or traveling to third world countries. Those are the places that we thought we were going to die and actually got very, very, very sick. Like people die.
Right. But I also think that there's something to be said of living without fear and living in fear. Because when you're living in fear, you're kind of attracting it. And the odds of something happening to you.
Well, hell yeah, dude. Have you ever just thought about everything that could possibly kill you? Everything can.
Right.
So,
I'm just saying when you're living fearless, I feel like there's almost some sort of protection because you're not scared. But if you're, like, dogs sense fear. So if I'm walking around scared, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a dog. It's going to attack me. It's going to bite me. It's going to da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to have a weird encounter, sure. something happen sure. with that dog versus if you're like, what up, dog? And you just keep walking.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Like, if you're living in fear, you're almost attracting it because you're like, oh my gosh, there's these people there. Am I going to get robbed? Am I going to whatever? And, da, 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 da. And you're like constantly going, like with this in your head
mm-hmm.
versus you're confidently walking down the street. You know that, you know, whatever. Isn't
that a contradiction too? Like, if you're living to avoid bad things, so you're afraid of it, you're actually attracting it.
Right.
Right. Isn't that a contradiction too?
Yeah. So life is a contradiction.
Life is just one big contradiction. It's really like, what do we do then? What is it that we do? How do we raise our children? Because yeah, what you're saying and your life experience, I'll just say it. I don't want my daughters doing what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it worked out for you. Great. Right?
I don't want them doing it either.
Right. With that being said, I don't want them to be afraid to do what you did. There should be like a healthy, right? Like fear isn't always bad. It can protect you. Like, hey,
right.
there's a lion over there. I'm afraid, so I'm not going to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So fear can protect you. For sure. But the thing is, like, so many of us have fears now that no longer serve us. So it's like you developed this fear and it's like, okay, thank you for keeping me safe maybe during this period of my life. But we hold on to them and make different truths of them. And then they hinder us in our path and in our future. And that was just like a side note. But also when you're saying living to die, so if you're really living life, another thing to me that almost seems like you're living to die, but I don't think that it's not a bad thing.
Not living to die, living to avoid dying.
Okay. Yeah, then I was reading that wrong. Like really living your life. But I would say a lot of people are trying to live their life actually wanting to have some sort of legacy. Like wanting to be remembered. Like we were actually just talking about this earlier tonight. You have the thought, I have the thought, if I were to die, what are they going to remember me by? And I want you and our children and the people close in our life to think highly of me, to think good things about me, that I was a good person, that I was generous, that I loved. And like, are we really living like that? Or are we like too caught up in this fear
mm-hmm.
to actually be those people?
Yeah, I think too, a lot of times I'll speak for myself, just getting in the rut of living the day, right? Like not living quote unquote intentionally, but just doing what needs to be done. And then that's one day, then it's 2 days in a row, then it's 2 weeks in a row, then it's 2 months in a row and 5 years in a row. And then you're just like, whoa, what, you know, one day you sit there, you're like, what am I doing? And then you look back and there wasn't really a day where you were where you focused your energy, right? Where you focused your time and like how you wanted to experience life, right? Because you can experience it basically however you want. Mm-hmm. In most cases, in life or death situations, obviously your natural instincts take over. But in most cases, it's you can choose. And I think we get, you know, a lot of people, me, I, you know, get stuck in the day to day. And then it's like, how do you focus on living to live? Mm-hmm. Like my focus is like, I want to milk every drop I can out of this life.
That is your focus?
Or is it, I need to be alive as long as possible so I can support my family because they need me. Mm-hmm. And it's a battle. Mm. And I sacrifice experiencing fully everything life has to offer because maybe I don't take as many risks.
Well, there's some risks when you have a wife and kids that are just dumb. I'm going to go ahead
and
say that.
It depends on who you are.
You told me I'm not allowed to skydive until our youngest is 18.
Yeah, 100%. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm just saying.
Going through what we're going through now, if you were not alive,
right?
I don't know what I would do. Because mm-hmm. our girls want nothing to do with me. And
that's not true. During the day?
At night, when it matters. They want nothing to do with me, which I understand.
Don't say when it matters. Jovi's all cuddled up to you during the day, watching TV, cuddling with you, playing with you.
Yeah, we're best, wanting to we're be best with buds. You.
Right.
For sure. But I'm saying, like, I can't console her the way you can. And at night, when...
Because you have no boobs.
We can get into other conversations, too. It would be almost impossible for me. It would be really, really, really hard. And I'm not wired like you're wired. So it's like, it takes a lot out of me to... And it sounds stupid, but to be compassionate. Where like even with like the miscarriages and stuff, I'll never experience that the way you did. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, I didn't have any hormone changes mm-hmm. like you did. And second off, I've never grown a human inside of me like you have. So there's just experiences I've never experienced and will never. So when it comes to like parenting, it's like, yeah, what do I have to do differently now that I have a family? And what does that mean for my kids, right? Because you want to be an example for your kids.
Mm-hmm. But you also have to like continue enjoying and living your life. And I think that that's the pattern that we've seen our parents doing is like, we're going to work hard to support our family. So they're no longer enjoying life. They're just working to pay bills and working to make sure that like
you can still enjoy life. I'm just talking about like,
do you get what I'm saying? Like that's the rut that you were saying that every single day that you get into this routine and then you just keep going. And then it's like, what are you living for? Are you actually living?
Yeah. And I do think there can be a balance. I'm more talking about what is like the predominant focus in life. Is it just to survive or is it to live? Right. Mm-hmm. And because I am very happy and I'm very filled and I do feel like I do enjoy a lot of my life. Mm-hmm. I do know as well, though, that I have a lot of internal battles for risks I may want to take or, you know, whatever, just like choices I need to make. I have a very deep struggle internally on what to do. And it's, I don't think I'm wrong or right. Either decision, mm-hmm. both have different consequences.
Everything in life has a consequence.
Right. So.
Yeah, I think we all have our internal struggles, though, but that's the battle, though. Like, not letting it, like, working through them, but also learning how to enjoy life. Also, for everybody listening, I don't remember the last time that I had a drink of anything alcoholic. And Vito and I are not big drinkers, and we're like a quarter of a glass deep in wine right now. So, just FYI.
So what?
I'm.
Are you drunk?
Buzzed.
That's ridiculous.
I know. You feel nothing?
No.
Oh my goodness. I poured us like half a glass of wine and I'm a few sips in. And I am it's the so biggest good. Lightweight ever. This is good. What year is this?
This was this year's, I think.
It's their family homemade wine. Pretty decent.
We're not making any this year.
Okay.
We couldn't get grapes. It's too late.
Yeah, because we normally have crushed them by now.
Yeah. But we have plenty.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that was good, babe. I mean, that's definitely a thought to ponder because I feel like that's been my struggle in motherhood is just being tired and figuring out what the heck I'm doing.
Yeah.
With two kids and how to manage it all, but then also enjoy it. Because I do enjoy it, but I've been trying to just be more intentional of looking into their eyes and engaging and playing and spending moments like that every single day versus trying to get the next thing done and being like, okay, well, I need to go fold laundry and I need to cook dinner and I need to whatever, because if I actually take time to engage, the other stuff like still falls in.
Yeah. I've been noticing lately, I've been focusing on what my face looks like when I'm looking at the girls. So I don't want to just like stare blankly at them or look disinterested or look annoyed.
Yeah.
So I've been focusing lately, like smile and like, you know, be animated and yeah. You know, because like God forbid something happens, like I want their memory of me to be like, yeah, but Bao was interested in what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he cared. Mm-hmm. He was listening. He was there. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
because sometimes I'll listen and I'll just like,
you're like, uh-huh, yeah,
yeah, but I'm listening.
Oh,
but my right. face just looks like completely disinterested. But I'm listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a focus of mine.
Yeah. It is important. I would like to live, really live life.
What does that mean for you?
For me, it just means finding the joy in the everyday. It doesn't mean I have to go jump out of planes or whatever, but I do think there is a certain element of risk that you have to take because we all have hopes and dreams and things we want to do and fear boxes us in. And I think taking some risks, being like, you know what, I am going to take that trip. I am going to do this thing. I'm not going to be scared to travel with the 5 children we're going to have,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever it is. And figuring things out instead of being like, hey, we keep saying we'd love to go camping again, like with our kids, and being like, oh, we're not sure how to do that. And never like doing it, actually like booking it and going and figuring it out
mm-hmm.
and doing it. And maybe it's a disaster and we drive home at 2 a.m. I don't know. But, or it's fun.
Yeah.
And we make memories and
yeah, that's a long time. That's a long time in the future, but yeah.
I don't know. Delaney and Ryan just went camping with their baby.
No.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't.
Yes,
they slept outside with the baby.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, they didn't.
Delaney, please text me when you listen to this.
No, they didn't.
Let me know. But you know what I mean? Like taking those, that's what I mean, way out in the future. No, I'm not going to wait until our kids are older to do something I enjoy.
Go do it.
I'm going to go camp by myself.
Yeah.
What, and pump the whole weekend?
Our baby's not going to go with you.
No.
And sleep outside.
I would like to experience this. We're not sleeping outside. We're sleeping in tents.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. No.
Oh, really?
We can You're bring not a blow up mattress. We can whatever. Yes.
Okay.
Babe, this is what I'm saying. I'm telling you something that would fill my cup.
I'll fill your cup.
Oh my gosh. I just set you right up for that. Babe, you know how much I miss the outdoors. I've told you so many times. Like, I miss Vegas so much because of the hiking, because of the nature, because it's so easy to, like, get out and get some peace and connect.
Yeah.
And there's not hikes around here.
Yeah.
There's like a forest preserve.
There's too many people around here.
Right. That fills me up.
Yeah.
You do too, babe.
I know. I was going to say. Couldn't do it back to back.
But we can't. I'm not going to wait until our kids are what? You think it's going to get better?
No, I just think that.
Like, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying like it's always going to be remembering. Did we pack everything? Did we whatever? They're at this age where this is happening.
No, I don't care about that. It's more like, does a seven month old do well outside? And tenting is outside. There's no like temperature control, right? Yeah. So if it gets really hot or if it gets really cold or if it's super... Right, but is it something that you would put a 7 month old into?
Into camping, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Disagree. I disagree.
I don't.
Well.
Let's do it.
No. Nope.
Let's figure it out.
No.
Nope. Babe, you can't just say no.
No.
I'm about to throw down. Right, meow.
That's what I do with Joby. I go, hold on, let me think about it. And then she stops crying and I go... No.
You're so mean.
But she laughs. She thinks it's funny.
All right, if she laughs, that's fine. Yeah,
she thinks it's funny. Because I make faces and stuff.
I'm like, telling you something that would fill me up so much, and you're just like, no.
You can do it. You and I can do it. We'll leave the girls home with
my
mom.
I don't want to. I want to experience it with them. I want to do it as a family.
How many seconds of sleep do you think you'll get?
I don't care. We're getting none right now, so might as well be outside getting none.
More uncomfortable, not in a mattress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blow up mattress.
That sounds miserable to me.
Okay.
What?
Nothing. You're annoying me right now. All right. So we're going to come back to you guys on that. It's probably not going to happen this year because it's already like getting freezing so cold outside. At night. Yeah. And like... the next weekend we have open is pretty far away, so. But soon,
it'll
happen.
We'd have to do it in the summer. And then you're talking about heat and mosquitoes.
I don't care. You figure it out.
Okay, we'll camp in our backyard.
No.
What's wrong with that?
I just told you what I need to fill my cup.
Go take a walk around the neighborhood. Okay. That's a hike.
That's not. Dude, you're looking for it. Thinks he's funny. Guy thinks he has a sense of humor now.
You want me so bad. No? That's so rude.
A, we already had sex today. B, yeah, when I'm telling you what I need and you're like, no.
I said that's no. What I do to Jovio. I wasn't
Maybe
saying it to
I'll
you.
I'll help fill your cup 10 years from now.
I did not say 10 years from now.
Oh, when our youngest is what
You're
age?
Being rude.
No. Mm-mm.
All right. The wine's getting to me a little bit.
Yeah, see? All right. We're going to go over. I asked for people to send in a few questions. And so we're going to dive into a couple of those things. I don't know this one. It says thoughts on Kanye's interview with Tucker Carlson, which I didn't.
I
neither
no
of us
idea.
Watch.
I don't watch the news. We're not into it.
The only thing I know is he wore like a White Lives Matter shirt or something like that.
Cool. Don't
but
care.
Other than that, I have no idea. Sorry.
Couldn't care less.
Cutting ourselves off from.
So here's the thing. I think that goes along with are you living to live or just living not to die? Like that's one of those things where I think about time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't care. I think Kanye is living his life and Tucker Carlson's living his.
I think he's always been weird, and honestly I don't even know who Tucker Carlson is.
He's a Fox News guy.
Oh, okay. I don't watch the news.
Good on both of them, and I hope the best for them. And I got so much shit. I got so much shit going on, right? It's like I got too much in my life I'm trying to work through. I got to worry about some guy's interview with another guy and neither of them care about me. It's
neither of them care, and it's all political. And when it comes to like,
even if it was about
like,
art, like
I
don't
honestly trust no one. So
even if it's about art, it's like, I don't have
They're
time.
All corrupt.
I got no time for this.
Right.
But I just want to say that someone wrote in a couple, you're going to get more wine.
Babe, I was motioning that to you so that you weren't going to announce it.
I'll take my monologue. No, we can edit it. We can cut it out and stuff. I just want to say to people who write in, we do read everything and we really do appreciate you writing in. And we actually had a person write in with a great comment that challenged me quite a bit. And I really appreciate it. I appreciated the conversation. And I just hope that that person, you know, got something out of it maybe. And if, even if we don't agree, that, you know, it was nice. It's nice to interact with the people who listen and, you know.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I thought it was really nice.
What comment?
The comment, it was like a Christian-based conversation.
Oh. Yeah. So let's dive into these. One is how to deal with my mother-in-law, who is not accepting of me and is very rude. She sent us, we got into like a deep conversation. Got it.
Mother-in-law issues. Yeah.
Right. And she sent some examples and things like that. And I just, first of all, have to say that that's really, really hard. Like, I can't imagine being in a situation where your mom is rude to me.
Can I put my two cents in?
Go for it.
We should ask her if I could put my two cents in, but
she asked us to give advice or talk about it.
I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but I think because I've seen it in people's lives who are very close to me, it is the responsibility of the husband to step up and say something. He is...
That's honestly what I was going to say.
He is... This is his family.
Or who's ever, if it was her mom who was super rude to him, don't you think it should be her then who goes to her?
Yeah, sure.
Who's ever parent
sure,
it is.
Sure, 100%. With that being said, in this specific situation, this is his family now. The person who wrote in, and this is my, you could call him old school beliefs or whatever, he is the head of the home. This is something that is bothering, is causing friction in his wife's emotions and stuff. It is his job to protect and provide support, not financially in this situation, but just be there for her and provide an environment where she can grow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, I'm a mama's boy, so it would definitely not feel normal it would definitely not feel natural if I had to say something to my mom, but it's just fact. You are my number one. And that doesn't make my mom any less, but you are my number one. So if my mom was ever causing any turmoil or emotional angst or whatever in your life, it would be my responsibility to make it right. And that doesn't mean be rude. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean end the relationship with my mom or any, it's just find a solution.
Right. But I also see, like, in some of the examples that she gave, that your personality type is different than probably her husband's, because you're somebody who just calls people out, like, in the moment. So if we were hanging out with your mom and you were around, and I were to ask her something and she were to just ignore me, you'd be like, Mom, Liz is talking to you. Like, you would say something in the moment. Or if, like, we invited them over to hang out and she just, like, went to go do something because she doesn't think I can do it well enough or I whatever, you'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Come hang out with the family. Like, you would call her out on the spot and say something.
But
that's also how your mom receives it. She'd be like, what? You know what I mean? Like, it's not a big deal. Well, it's not like...
And there have been moments where you're like, oh, hey... you know, so-and-so, whether it's my mom or my sisters or whatever, my cousins made a comment and it really rubbed me the wrong way. And I'll be there for you. I'll listen to you. Like, I'm not just talking about like confronting the mother-in-law, but also like providing a space for your wife to feel heard and accepted and loved, right? Like, mm-hmm. and then I'll help you, because I'm not there all the time. So I'll help you find the courage to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, I support you 100%. If you feel like you're being disrespected, say something and I'll have your back. And
right. But then it's also hard for, if you were saying that to me, for me to say something, because then it goes back to like, it's your family. Like,
well, then, sure. Then you just ask if it's something that's off the table. If he's not going to say anything to the mom and you're not going to say anything, then it's the next step is to create whatever is going to work for you to feel, to not let that interfere with your personal lives, your relationship, right. and your family.
So whether it's like setting healthy boundaries,
right,
different communication, or even like, I mean, I don't know.
And I just think that it's his job as the head of the household to initiate that conversation with his wife to, you know, to just be aware. Like, men need to be more aware. We need to listen and see what's going on. And if he's completely oblivious to it, then obviously she has to say something to him.
Right. Yeah. But also, like, it doesn't sound like she has this type of relationship, but maybe even like she's somebody who has faith, and I don't know if her mother-in-law does or not, but sitting down and having a conversation with her and just being honest and just being like, hey, listen, like, I love your son and I would love to have a great relationship with you. I would love to feel a part of this family. What can we do to make that happen? And just see what happens.
Yeah. And be disconnected from the results of that conversation, because she could very well be like, oh, we have a great relationship.
And you're like,
I love. Please. Yeah. And then you're like, yeah, do we? You know?
Right, right.
But I just think that, and to take back to my point, is just, this is your family. I'm talking to the husband. I'm sure he's a great guy. I think most people are pretty great. Just protect your wife. And it doesn't mean be combative with everyone else. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying to end your relationship with your family. I'm just saying she's your, you know, the future mother, if not the mother of your children. And she is your partner. And that's something to value and protect. And that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
work it out, have conversations, listen, don't get defensive, listen.
Right. And I do want to say that you've done a really good job at that for me emotionally. I feel like there's been a few situations where maybe I've wanted to do something or have a conversation and you've actually stopped me. And just been like, listen, like, I love you and I care about you and I don't think that this is healthy, and I'm seeing what this is doing to you emotionally, and I feel like it's my job to protect you, and like having that conversation with me, and it's helped, and I've followed your advice in those situations and it always worked out like the way that it should have.
Yeah, I'm pretty wise, babe.
Just as I was like starting to be like, hey.
You want round two?
No, definitely not.
What the heck, man? I don't think we've gone multiple rounds since our honeymoon.
No, we haven't. I think we were talking about that the other day. Yeah, because it's funny on TV shows or in movies. They're like, oh my gosh, let's go again. And we're
forget
like,
forget it.
Right. We're like, no.
I'm pretty sure there's a chemical thing that happens in guys that makes them tired.
Yeah. I don't know, babe, because we've also talked about how your, what is the word now? I can't think of it.
I don't know what you're about to say.
When you pass out.
Narcolepsy?
Narcolepsy.
Mm-hmm.
How you're narcoleptic. So a lot of things make you pass out.
It's science.
How has your marriage changed since having littles? I honestly think that it's deepened it.
It's definitely deepened it. I love you way more. I'm way more attracted to you. I respect you way more. It's changed in the sense of like, we're not as carefree. We focus on different things. Priorities have changed.
I think the thing that sucks the most for me is like, we can't just stay up late and watch a movie and like sleep in,
right?
like, if we're like, hey, let's watch a movie tonight, we're like, but the kids are going to be up at this time, and we're going to, you know what I mean?
That thought doesn't even go through my head. I'm just like, I'm so tired. There's no way I'm watching this movie.
So I feel like that's like the biggest thing, especially like when you're off in the winter. I mean, we only got one winter really before kids came. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. We'd stay up late, like we'd get binge watch a TV show and play card games and sleep in and whatever. And that those days are gone.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, oh, the girls are both in bed early. We can whatever. And it's like, or...
we can go to sleep.
We can go to bed soon. Like, it just that finding time. I do feel like we do a really good job at finding time for each other. Like, we...
we just talk a lot.
We do talk a lot. But, yeah, I mean, I think marriage has changed just in our priorities. And maybe we're definitely not... going back to, like, the fun stuff. I mean, we did a lot more fun things before we had kids.
We're not as spontaneous. Right. We're not, you know... all of the, it's just a different stage, which we can be spontaneous later on in our lives, which is fine. Or more spontaneous, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think more the positive than anything since having kids.
I definitely love you a lot more. Like, but I think that that's going to happen no matter what. I think I think even if you and I hadn't had kids yet,
oh, sure.
I feel like just you fall more and more. Like, we get to know each other more. We experience each other more. We see each other in different situations. We go through things. We learn to love each other in different ways. So yeah, that's just going to grow.
Well, yeah, with time, you become more and more, like, you become more and more a part of each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you choose to, or you can choose to, like, come home and I go in my room, you go in the whatever room, I watch my shows, you watch your shows, and we don't talk.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
People do that.
I couldn't do that. When you're sitting on the couch watching football, I borderline sit on top of you because you're
borderline.
Always, babe,
you're always on top of me.
You sit in the worst place in the couch. You leave like a tiny sliver on one side.
And 13 feet on the other
side. 13 feet on the other. But I want to be on the tiny side. But it's not enough for me to fit. So I squeeze in there every single time. And you're like, why don't you just sit on the other side of me? And I'm like, because I just want to be snuggled up next to you. And that side feels more natural.
Oh, you're so ridiculous.
But I also think that we've done like a really good job at like, there's just certain things that we do that even if it's been busy or we haven't seen each other, like, we always kiss each other goodnight and just stuff like that. You know, mm-hmm. We communicate during the day. We,
I think what we do well, and this isn't like, listen to us talk about how awesome we are, but I think what we do well is when I'm about to snap, you calm down.
Yeah.
And when you're about to snap, I calm down. And that could be within 30 seconds of each other.
Right. That's true. I can be about ready to lose it and you're the calm one. Right. And then a minute later, you're...
I'm ready to snap and you're like, and then you calm down all of a sudden. You're like, okay, everything's fine. I'm like, I'm about to lose it. And then, yeah. So I think that's what we do well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just like a sensing thing. Mm-hmm. For just like, we don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we both can't lose it.
Right. No.
We just can't.
No, and it doesn't solve anything. I think deep down we both know it doesn't solve anything, but sometimes your most emotions just get a hold of you and you need the other person to be like, all right, relax.
Right.
Everything's fine.
Yeah. Even though you haven't slept, eaten, or done anything.
I know.
It's fine. No questions, but can't wait for the new episode. Thank you, Cassandra. What did you find harder, the transition from 0 to 1 kids or 1 to 2 kids? So my answer is split. For the first 6 months of life, I found it much harder 0 to 1. I think the first 6 months of Jovi's life were much harder than the first 6 months of balancing 2. Because everything was so new. I think middle of COVID, Jovi's NICU stay, I just had tons of anxiety about everything I was doing. I think the fact that I was tracking her sleep so much to the point, like in the app, that if she fell asleep for like 10 minutes and then woke up, nursed and went back to sleep, I was like, stop sleeping, nursed, back to sleep. Like I would count 5-minute increments. Like mm-hmm. I was tracking every single thing. I'm like, she isn't sleeping. What's wrong with her? Blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, oh, she's a baby. So mm-hmm. I think when Tula came, I was just so much more relaxed and it was so much easier. I mean, granted, her birth was easier. Like the experience was easier. She was born like in the spring. The weather's getting nice outside. Like we weren't as worried about COVID. And so just the whole experience was so different. And Jovi's been so good with Tula. Like we've been really, really blessed with that.
Yeah.
Up until 2 weeks ago, I would have said 0 to 1. But starting a couple weeks ago, I'm like, man, 1 to 2 is starting to really get to me.
Yeah, I think the stage of life is different. The amount of kids hasn't really made a difference. It's just the stage of life that our kids are getting into that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to answer because, like, the terrible twos or whatever they call it, it's like we weren't able to experience that with just one kid.
Right.
So, but it's definitely amplified now that we have another one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think like the stage that we just entered, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to learn some new tricks for balancing. Yeah,
it's interesting.
Some balancing.
It's definitely interesting, man.
Yeah, like trying to put one down while the other one's crying, and then it's just like...
And then I go in and the one's like, get the F out of my room. Where is my mother? And I'm like, dude, I know. I don't know what to tell you, though.
Yeah.
You're going to have to deal with this.
Right, right.
She literally last night goes, open the door! And was like screaming. And I was like, dude, you can cry. Crying's okay, but you have to stop screaming.
Yeah.
Like, you have to stop screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And then I did a little brain ninja on her. I was like, okay. I go, okay, I'm going to put you down. I'm going to go see if mommy's awake. I go, okay, I'm going to put you down. I'm going to put you in your crib. Just sit here. And so I'm going to be right back. I'm going to go see if mommy's awake.
And she laid down
and she's like, okay, cool. She was wide awake. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. Just wait. I'll be right back. I'm going to go see if she's awake. And I was going to go wake you up, really.
I was awake. I'm
just saying, like, she was screaming. And then we look at the monitor and she's out. And I was like, good.
But did you hear her this morning when she came in? So just Jovi started climbing out of her crib 2 nights ago. So this morning, she doesn't even cry. She just gets out of her crib, walks out, and comes into our room. And the first thing she said, she goes, I found you.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. She's like, I found you. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And, for you to say you remember this morning, I genuinely don't remember anything. Right. I'm just so tired.
Right. And this is how it's been every day.
I know. It's been really bad to the point where I was like, we need to call somebody, like a professional. The lack of sleep we've been getting is right. Almost clinical.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I need somebody to just come at like 6 a.m., stay till 10.
Like today I took the girls and I left.
Right.
So I'm like, Liz needs sleep.
I didn't sleep though, but.
Regardless, you need silence. You just needed just that weight out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's the only way you would ever, as if whoever came just left with the kids.
Right.
But we love them.
Oh, of course. That goes without saying. But yeah, I mean, I think it's probably going to switch back and forth, you know?
Yeah. All right, let's do one more.
Okay, I think a couple more because we can answer these quick. What are separate activities you guys do for me time?
Clean the garage.
Don't even get me started. Yours would be golf. You've golfed a lot more this year.
A lot more, but I don't like golf. I'm not like a golfer. It's not like I something do once a month.
Yeah, you've been doing it once a month.
No.
You did it in July. You did it in August. You did it in September. I think you went in June. You've been doing it like once a month.
I guess once a month. But it's not like I'm in. It's not like, oh, I need a break. I'm going to go golf.
Right, but you enjoy it.
It's been more fun. But that, okay, yeah, sure, golf, I guess. I wouldn't say I am, but yeah.
Do you have a different separate activity that you do?
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, I'd say that mine's
or like projects right around the house that you have stopped me from doing, which is honestly driving me nuts.
You know what, babe? I didn't stop you from doing anything. It's because you jump from one thing to the next. You're like, and if you have nothing to do, you clean the garage. And now you want to start on the basement bathroom.
Which we need to do because we're hosting your family.
But also you've been gone 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. every single day. And I don't want you to come home and start working on the basement. I want you to come home and hang out with me because I've been in this all day.
Yeah. But you can help.
I need you.
You can help me.
No. I'm tired. And just sit there and look pretty. Babe. I don't want to be down there.
Okay.
I just want to hang out with you a little bit. I don't care if you start it. I just needed a break from a project.
Okay. How much longer?
I don't know.
2 more weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. Deal.
And then you can start on the basement. But when I'm like, yo, you just have to be at my beck and call. That's all I'm asking for.
That's what you, today you were like, go put up the pictures in Joby's room.
That was yesterday.
I was like, all right, I'm going to go do it. And you're like, no, stay here. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to go put those up and stay here at the same time.
I know. But then I let you go put them up. I was like, whatever, go.
No, you weren't. I was walking up the stairs and you were like, Vito, come downstairs. Don't go.
I need you.
You let me go.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I just need you to be at my beck and call right now. That'd be great. Thanks.
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay. Your favorite memories from 2022 summer and any favorite family fall recipes? I like soups. I'm a big soup person as soon as it gets into fall.
Chili is good for fall.
I love a good chicken Tuscan soup.
Whatever Brian makes, your brother-in-law, he makes good chili.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite summer memories? Summer breeze makes me feel fine. I don't know.
I had fun at my family reunion in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun. What else did we do?
I can't even think. These questions are way too hard.
We went to Galena. That was fun. To do something as a family.
I don't know.
Yeah. Which means we just need to be more engaged.
Or we started writing things down because we're so tired that it's not even... We are engaged, but our brains just shut off.
One of the biggest secrets to a healthy marriage or your best advice to a healthy one?
Bend the knee to each other. That would be my best advice.
So I think communication is obviously huge. You can't be with somebody that you can't communicate with. Like if we don't always, like, there's definitely times where it's like, you just need to stop talking right now and I need space or I need to whatever. I mean, that's always you saying it to me, but is that why you're laughing?
Yeah, the other night I was like, Liz, you're just talking and I need you to not be talking.
And then the other day you're like, you're breathing and I need you to not be breathing. God. But you guys listen. So I don't know what's going on, but at night, it's a little bit better tonight. But for like the last couple weeks at night, I get so stuffed up. I could not breathe.
You and then
I
had mouth breathing like an animal. Mouth.
I could not help it. It was out of my control. But Vito was like so annoyed by it.
I said, I didn't say stop breathing. I just said to leave. It's like you need to get away from
and
me.
And I would never do that to you.
I don't ever mouth breathe. And if I do, I don't go by you. I'm very self-conscious. I'm extremely self-conscious.
I wouldn't even think of that because it wouldn't bother me. And you won't need to think of that because I'm not somebody who's like, oh my gosh, this person chews with their mouth open. Oh my gosh, they breathe so heavy. Oh my gosh. Like none of those things really bother me. I'm a very like easygoing person when it comes to that.
Yeah, but you
kind
were just like on top of me. And then mouth breathing, and then I was like, dude, figure it out.
I know. Or get out and you're trying to push me away, and I wouldn't let you. So I think communication, though, is huge because also when he was like, get away from me, I wasn't like hurt and taking it personally because I know him and I know like whatever, like we can communicate really well. So I think that that is vital to mm-hmm. a good marriage. I think having similar values, I think that there, you need to talk about how you want to raise your family.
I think these are all like premarital questions. Do you communicate well? Do you have the same values?
Okay, once you're in it then, what's the key once to you're a in secret it marriage?
Is a good sex life, a selfless sex life, selfless, and a service mentality. What did I say the other day? I was like, you got to find someone that you want to serve, like that mm-hmm. you want to bend the knee to. And if they don't in return get down on their knee as well, like they want to serve you, then it's not going to work. Because if it's one-sided where one person is there 100% all out for the other person, will listen, will support, will fight for, and the other person doesn't, then that's not a relationship. That's
mm-hmm.
that's not a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go into it and you really, like, you love to serve this person, you want, like, the best for them, you respect them, you love them, you care for them, like, you want to just, and like I said, you know, the other day I told Liz to get away from me, but all in all,
laughing when you said right, it wasn't like.
Right, but I did want you to stop talking. But all in all, I want you to live the best life you can live. Genuinely, like, that's my top goal in life. And and you also want that for me. And I know you want that for me. So it's like, we don't really fight.
Mm-mm.
Because
I'd say we have, like, small bickers.
Right, but when we when we feel disconnected, mm-hmm. we have sex, mm-hmm. and that immediately brings you back,
mm-hmm.
Us at least, and we know without a doubt that we both want the absolute best for each other, and we're mm-hmm. both willing to do whatever it takes to help the other person. And if you don't feel that way about your partner, in my opinion, I don't know. That's not good, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
If you're just like, what can you do for me? Then maybe, you know, maybe go for a walk and, like, think about life.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you with this person?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you, you know,
and actually,
why do you,
like,
want to be with someone just to see what you can get from them?
But also, like, take an inventory, because I think that it's really easy if you're, like, in a similar season of life as us. I can feel myself, like, when I just feel really bogged down from the day and you've had a hard day and I'm like, ugh. Like, and I can hear Tula fussing. I'm like, why can't he just, like, grab her really quick? Or you're not getting her fast enough.
Oh,
or
there are some nights where I'm, like, kicking you, like, do you hear the baby crying? Are you going to get up? You know?
Right.
It's not the way we're talking. It's not all, like, rainbows and sunshine.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, it's so easy sometimes for me in the season that I am in to sometimes get in, like, victim mentality mode
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, oh, like, why isn't he doing this? And then I'm like, dude, I immediately, like, check myself. I'm like, Vito helps out and does so much. Like, he'll work a 12-hour day, come home, clean up dinner and vacuum, like, give Jovi a bath and then go vacuum and clean up downstairs while you're putting the girls down. Like, what else do you want from him? Like, I'll have that conversation with myself and then I'm like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just because it's been a hard day and I feel like I'm drowning.
Yeah.
And then I start feeling, like, victimized. Like, well, what about me? And it's like, well, what about you? Like, you're...
Well, yeah, it's normal. You know? It's normal to feel like, what about me? But it's not normal if I am doing all the things you're saying I'm doing to keep feeling. If you're not seeing...
Right.
That I am putting in that effort, then that's not right.
Well, and I also like what you said about wanting the best for each other, because I think, like, or wanting to do what it takes, like, I think both of us know I would do anything if I knew there was something that you wanted in this life, or that I knew there was something I could do to make your dreams come true for whatever it is, you know, or to make your life easier. Like, I would do that.
Yeah.
And the reverse is true. And I do think that that's important. I do think that that service mentality is important, because we both believe, like, when you get married, two do become one, and it's not about you anymore. It is, in the sense of, like, obviously this is my life, this is my whatever, but in order to make my life the best, like, honestly, I make a huge part of it about you, but that's also because you're making it about me. Like, yeah. We're caring for each other. We're caring for each other's needs. And I think that's super important.
I've seen enough relationships where one person gives and gives and gives, mm-hmm. and the other is grateful but doesn't give back or doesn't listen. Maybe they give back in a way that they think is the right way to give back, but the other person saying, no, I need it this way.
Right. I'd be like, babe, I really need you to spend time with me. And you're like, oh, hey, I bought you this gift, but I'm going to go do something else now.
Right.
Like, I love you. I bought you this. I'll see you later.
Right. And that's why I say the service mentality is like, really listen to each other. Really, like, identify each other's needs. And
don't be afraid to say it. Like, that's where the communication comes into play, because we'll tell each other, like, I really need this from you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I really need you to stop
talking.
And then
we work on them. And then we work on it. So, I think that's super important. I think that there was just one left, and then, babe, we can go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The next one's kind of deep. We briefly touched on it right before the podcast. So if your kids grow up and decide they don't believe in God one day, how will you handle it?
That's like an extremely in-depth question you can't just ask.
Would you like to talk about it next time?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
That is something I would have to think about, because that's a really good question.
It is a good question. So,
because it's a possibility. It's a high possibility.
So we are not avoiding your question. We are just going to save it until next time. And I posted this kind of late, so there might be more that come in. We'll see. And if they are, we can maybe get to that next time.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. I always like doing this with you, Boo.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a little bit of right here.
Yeah.
Eye to eye.
You time. And I. Yeah.
But now it's 9 p.m., which means
it's time 9. To go to
bed. It is 8:53.
It might as well be 2 in the morning.
Yeah, see, that's what Vito always does. It could be like 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and he's like, the day is basically over. And I'm like, babe, it's 9 a.m.
If we were in bed and it was 10 a.m., I'd be like, What an absolute waste. Right. What an absolute waste.
Babe, if it was 9, you would say, what an absolute waste.
No, if it was 9, I'd be like, all right, everybody get up. If we're not out of bed by 9:05, this is getting crazy.
Right, but if it was 10 o'clock, you would say, what a waste of a day. It's over.
And I would be pissed.
And I'd be like, what do you mean? We still have... If we went to bed at 9
hour?
O'clock... If we went to bed at 9 o'clock at night, you still have 11 hours of the day.
Yeah, listen. We just had a good conversation. Let's not end it.
Stop it.
Let's not end it on an argument.
Yes. Well, we could use some prayers, guys, for some restful nights. That would be great.
Please.
Yes. Some restful nights ahead. That would be great. All right.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Hopefully we talk to you soon.
TTYL.
Continue to write in.
LYLAS.
Okay. Bye.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Love you like a sis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There was something the other day that I had to decipher it and I got it, but there's way too many things out there.
If you know, you know. In case you missed it.
Yes. Oh, so do you know stupid. Which one I have to figure out what it says every single time?
GTG.
SMH.
Shake my head.
Yes, but every single time I say it, I don't remember or see it. I don't remember what it is, and I'm like, schminderbitter. Like, I cannot figure it out.
That's a stroke.
No, I can't figure it out, and I'm like, I guess that's to the birds. And then randomly, I'll be like, oh, shaking my head. Like, I can't get it. But now that I had this conversation, I'll remember it.
LOL.
Okay, see you guys later. Bye.